Ms. Donna, you were on the first season of the Andy Griffith Show.
That's right.
And what were your experiences there?
Well, they were all very positive. I felt a little bit like a bird out of a nest because I just finished Father Knows Best. And the way that ended kind of precipitously, during a writer's strike, we shut down for a few weeks. And when we came back, thinking that we were coming back to finish our season, during that period, the show was completely shut down. And Robert Young said he didn't want to do it anymore. So we never had a goodbye party. We never said goodbye to each other. There was no end to it. It just kind of, poof, disappeared. But I continued to work. And when I went into the Andy Griffith Show, I was now not playing someone's daughter, but a mature, learned person who had graduated from pharmacist school, you know, had been to college and so on. And I had not either had that experience in my life of having had a full college career, nor had I ever played anyone as yet that age and with those abilities. And I felt very, very insecure, which was the reason I only stayed with the show for the one season, because I just felt that I was doing very poorly. I began to not eat, my weight dropped, I was just a basket case, what they would say today. And so for my health, I asked out of the contract. But as far as the working times were, they were perfectly fine. My nervousness was my own doing to myself. Nobody did it to me. I loved Don and Ronnie and Mr. Griffith was very kind and sweet, and everyone was delightful. I mean, it was a wonderful set to be part of.
I think it's an interesting story you've told on the Christmas episode, mm-hmm. when you sang Away in the Manger. I mean, mm-hmm. you told the story before as how that came about.
Yeah, I hadn't sung for many, many years and have a little mental block about singing, less now than I did then. And I was terrified to do it. My mother said, well, for heaven's sake, you've sung Away in a Manger lots and lots and lots of times, so why should you be nervous about it? But I hadn't sung it, with an Andy Griffith, and certainly not recorded for posterity. And so the evening of the taping, we went to this little recording studio, and I was all over the place. I mean, my voice was breaking, and it was like just shaking with nerves. And Andy said, let's sit down on the floor here and just relax. So he got some pillows and pads and things, and we sat down. And he just noodled away on his guitar, and he said, just start whenever you feel like it. And so I started singing, and then he started singing. When we were finished with that, he said, well, that sounded pretty good. And the producer says, yeah, we got it. Okay, that's it. So they fooled me into recording.
Well, one of the things I will tell you is on the internet, you're kind of considered the one that got away for Andy. Everybody on there is like, I can't believe Andy let her get away.
I flew the coop.
Of all of Andy's girlfriends, she got away. And so we have a lot of questions about that, and why you left, which you've already explained.
I think in my heart of hearts, I have a book coming out which we can plug.
Right, yeah, we need to do that. That's right.
In October of 98. Called In the Kitchen with Eleanor Donohue, and in there I explain a little more fully about this. I really thought that possibly when my agent went in to the meeting, they would say, oh no, we want to keep her, what can we do to make her happy, or something. But they didn't. He said she wants out, and they said, oh, okay. That was the end of that. Well, so my feelings were hurt just for a minute, but I had no one to blame but myself. Now, today, in today's world, in television or anything else, people tend to talk more to each other instead of through mediaries. And had I been more mature, I would have gone to the producer, Aaron Rubin, whom I liked very much. had a cup of coffee with him, sat down and said, this is how I feel. I'm feeling funny because of this reason. And it was a legitimate reason. And have him say, either, well, you're just not cutting it, dear, so let's end the thing, or let's help you work this through. We'll talk about it and know you're doing fine and, you know, just be more secure and we'll help you with that. So if I had gone to them one-on-one, it's possible I might have stayed on with the show. But then everybody's careers would have been different. So.
That's true.
No.
Well, you've done several of the Andy Griffith Show reunion type events like this. And what's been your impression of the fans?
Terrific. Just wonderful. I think it was Maggie Peterson who calls it a love bath. I mean, it's just terrific. And the people are so lovely and so nice. I've seen beautiful parts of the country, been treated wonderfully well by everyone. And all the regulars come around, Judge Laird, it's just great to see everybody at least once a year.
That's great, yeah. Well, I know we enjoy seeing you too. You might want to tell about some of the other work you've done. You've done movies. You're on Pretty Woman.
Yes.
You know, things like that. Some of the other things. You've been on Dr. Quinn
more recently. Yeah, I've been playing Rebecca on Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. So Rebecca is Jane Seymour's eldest sister, who resides in Boston. So she comes out for big things like weddings and funerals and births of babies, etc. But that show has now been canceled, so that's over. But I did 8 episodes of that. And I've done a lot of, before that, sitcoms and do some theater around the country. Not as much. I think of myself now as semi-retired. I don't make an effort to work. Whether it would make a difference if I did make more of an effort, I don't know. But I don't. Okay, and I'm waiting to collect my Social Security.
Well, talking about your book, that's fixing to—it's coming out this fall.
Yes, Cumberland, Cumberland House Press is the publisher, and it will be out in October, they tell me. And the title is In the Kitchen with Eleanor Donahue, and it's a memoir cookbook. And I have recipes from a lot of people that I have worked with, the not only the Andy Griffith and the Father Knows Best people, including Robert Young's family, gave me a lot of recipes and anecdotes, which is I didn't expect. They were very generous. And but the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman people, a lot of them have given me autographs. I mean, not autographs, recipes and photographs. And The Odd Couple, I've got a recipe from Jack Klugman, his own personal recipe for spaghetti sauce in there. And Tony Randall responded after I needed to put a recipe in, and he said, now what was it you wanted? I said, don't worry, I put in a story already and a little recipe for you. So, but I had a lot of fun doing it. But not only those newer people, but people from 1942, my first movie, was Mr. Big at Universal. And I've got recipes from Donald O'Connor and Peggy Ryan and Gloria Jean, and I've got a recipe from Anne Blythe, who was one of the stars of the second movie I was in. I played Anne Blythe as a child. And she sent me her own personal recipe. And I just really, people were very, very generous. So much fun to do. And the book is a memoir, starts off with my life from the get-go right up to the present. It has personal reminiscences as well as show business reminiscences. It has about 250 photographs and 150 recipes and 150 little stories to go with the recipes. So I think it will be interesting. You know, I'm not Ernest Hemingway, for heaven's sake, you know. But it's a personal, friendly chat with me, and I think people will enjoy it.
I want to thank you for your time, and I really appreciate it.
Okay.